In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we continue our sermon series on the corporal works of mercy by focusing on feeding the hungry. We live in a world that constantly ignores and reviles the poor and the hungry, a world that blames the poor and the hungry for being poor and hungry. Take a walk in downtown Greenville today, and you will see a growing number of hungry, homeless people and a growing indifference to them. Count the number of places that offer dog treats and water bowls outside of their stores, and compare that with the number of places where a hungry person can get a meal. At times, it seems like it is better to be a dog than a hungry person in the upstate. We are also surrounded by brothers and sisters who struggle with food insecurity, individuals who do not have a consistent source of sufficiently nutritious food. This invisible epidemic affects 1 in 7 people in South Carolina. That works out roughly to at least one person in every single pew of this church. And the number is worse when you look at children. 1 in 6 children in this state, almost 200,000 children, are impacted by hunger. And these are not just numbers, but actual people, some of which are in this church right now, silently suffering. And if you are one of those that are hungry, please know that we do care and that we want to help. Please reach out to St. Vincent de Paul or to me, and I'll make sure that you get what you need. So today I want to reflect on this great scandal and offer 3 reasons why all of us should discern whether we should do more to help our hungry brothers and sisters. First of all, it is our duty. The Lord does not mince many words when it comes to our duty to feed our hungry brothers and sisters. In his harrowing account of the final judgment, Christ makes clear that we will be judged in part on our charity and loving and caring for our brothers and sisters. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food." The church, in her wisdom, and based on the clear teaching of our Lord in the gospel, proclaims that we have a duty to feed our hungry brothers and sisters. While recognizing the right to private property, Mother Church teaches us that we are stewards of those gifts that are entrusted to us. The Catechism declares, in his use of things, man should regard the external goods he legitimately owns not merely as exclusive to himself, but common to others, in the sense that they can benefit others as well as himself. So although we have a right and a duty to provide ourselves and for our families, our material possessions are not our own, but common to all, such that we should share them without hesitation when others are in need. The fathers and doctors of the church held this opinion and taught that men are obliged to come to the relief of the poor and not just from their excess. St. Gregory wrote, "When we attend to the needs of those in want, we give them what is theirs, not ours. More than performing works of mercy, we are paying a debt of justice." St. John Chrysostom taught, "Not to enable the poor to share in our goods is to steal from them and to deprive them of life. The goods we possess are not ours, but theirs." If you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. And this teaching continues today. Gaudium et Spes, the pastoral constitution of the church in the modern world, promulgated during the Second Vatican Council, references the duty in a typical Roman fashion, short and to the point. Feed the man dying of hunger, because if you have not fed him, you have killed him. It is telling that the section of the Catechism that addresses the feeding of the hungry and the other corporal works of mercy is found in the section devoted to the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not steal." These are hard teachings, but this is what Christ calls us to do. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. Now we could stop right here and see the feeding of the hungry simply as an obligation that we have to follow, like a chore that our mom or dad gives us, something we do, but begrudgingly. But I challenge you to see it through two different lenses. We should feed the poor because it allows us to be Christ to others, and because it allows us to encounter Christ in others. In a few minutes, we will be in the presence, the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. We will look on in adoration as the priest lifts up the Blessed Sacrament, and then in a moment of transcendence, we will be fed by the body of Christ. And then something extraordinary will happen. By receiving and eating the body of Christ, we will become the body of Christ. As St. Augustine proclaims, when you hear the body of Christ, you reply, Amen, meaning this is true. So be a member of the body of Christ in order to make that Amen true. Be what you see and receive what you are. As the body of Christ, we are called to be his instruments, called to be his hands and feet. We are called to be Christ to others, to work alongside him, as his disciples did when he fed the thousands with the loaves and fishes. What an extraordinary opportunity that is for us. Moreover, when we feed the hungry, we have the privilege of encountering and serving our Lord in a direct way. Christ tells us that whenever we feed the poor, we feed him. Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. Outside of encountering him in the Eucharist, there is no closer way to encounter Christ than in the poor and the hungry. In today's gospel, we hear that how the disciples walking on the road to Emmaus encountered Christ and walked alongside him, but they did not recognize him. It was not until the breaking of the bread that they realized that Christ was present. How often do we walk by Christ and fail to recognize him? Perhaps it is in the breaking of the bread with the hungry that we too will see the Savior as he walks alongside us, hidden in our brothers and sisters that are hungry. I ask that all of us prayerfully discern what we can do to ensure that no one in our community ever is hungry again. This act of service can take many forms. We can provide food or service to our chapter of the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, who does incredible work. We can volunteer at the Greer Soup Kitchen or the Triune Mercy Center. We can provide financial assistance to groups like Meals on Wheels. We can sign up and cook a meal for a meal train for a family facing adversity. Or we can offer to buy a meal the next time we encounter someone asking us for change. In the words of St. Paul VI, let us pray. Make us worthy, Lord, to serve our fellow men and women throughout the world who live and die in poverty and hunger. Give them through our hands this day their daily bread, and by our understanding love, give peace and joy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.